Lobster Johnson. Ba-na-na-na.
He's saying his dick has a claw.
I'd read that.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Pull List. My name is Lex, and I'm here with my co-host, Simon. Simon, what is up?
Man, it's been so long since I've talked to you.
And to clarify, his name's not Simon Simon. There was a punctuation in between that.
Simon Simon. I'll take it. Somebody called me the wrong. I've been working at my job for 8 months, and somebody called me the other guy's name that used to work there the other week, which is really easy because we're one letter different. His name is Simon, yeah. And my name is Simon. But I was
you guys
still
look
like,
alike?
There, someone has said so, and no, we don't look anything alike. I'm beautiful. Anyway.
I promise I'll never call you Simeon. Do you remember that 90s cartoon with the monkeys? The guy's name was Simeon, I think. It was like a futuristic monkey show.
Well, I think that's where I got it, why I started using my artist name is Simeon. And we had a friend that called me that all the time. And I used to use that because I thought it was... Simon to me was always just so boring. People made fun of it all the time. So I was like, how can I do something else that's interesting? But it's kind of funny. I didn't know at the time that there was a person in Wichita Falls named Simeon.
Wow, I used to watch the shit out of this show. Captain Simeon and the Space Monkeys.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Hold on, let me look it up.
I used to watch that shit. Damn, the 90s had some really, really terrible good shows.
Terrible good, man. Yeah, dude, I remember that. Yeah, because they always make like one weirdly hot cartoon character, and you're like, why do I have these strange feelings about this monkey?
Yeah, they do. The 90s are created by perverts.
Yeah, why is this duck making my pants move?
All right, back to the show. If you're new here, we review comic book trades. Some people call them trade reviews.
Don't call
this
them
week. Please don't call it that. This week, we are taking a dip in the Mike Mignola pool. I imagine it feels like a swamp. Nothing against him. Just kind of he does creepy work.
It's really dark and soupy in here.
Yeah. It's really, really musty in my house right now. I got the heater cranked all the way up in the summer in Texas.
Yeah.
He's just got for the effect.
The humidifier.
Now, I do love his work. I really do. But I will say, just a fan of the property in general, I haven't dove deep into like all of the lore.
Same. And I love Mike Mignola. I love his illustration style. I know this wasn't drawn by him, but I've always dug it. And I'm the same way. Like, I love Hellboy. Hellboy is one of my favorite characters ever.
Same.
I've read one Hellboy comic.
Yeah, same. But I mean, we both are fans of the Lovecraftian sort of vibe, and that's pretty much his motif.
Yeah, that kind of the old ones thing. Lovecraft is very racist, though.
Yeah, I like Lovecraftian things.
You got to separate the art from the artist.
Yeah. I like pillowcases, man. That doesn't mean I like to wear it on my head.
Don't you ask me in my opinion.
So, we're not reading Hellboy. That's a big lead up to like.
It's like, I love Thriller, but you know, it's butthole.
I'm a huge fan of Michael Jackson, but you're not going to catch 12-year-old me in Never Neverland.
Oh God,
playing Purple Nurple with Michael Jackson. Oh, we're not reading Hellboy. Sorry. If we edged you that way, it's like, oh, hell yeah. These guys are about to read Hellboy. They're finally reading something good. I'm not saying that this isn't good, but we're not reading Hellboy. We're reading Lobster Johnson, The Iron Prometheus, only because I love the name Lobster Johnson and the design of the character. I've you know, randomly going through half price books or just being at the comic book shop. I see Lobster Johnson books all the time. And I'm like, you should see the list in my phone of like just random names of characters that I have. No background, no story, but just like, oh, this is going to be a great, there's a story behind this name.
Yeah. I was sitting here as we were reading it, or as I was reading it, we weren't reading it together.
We sat arms linked in a chain.
But as I was reading, I was like, how did he come up with that name?
God.
I'm sure it's in the end, but I didn't read that part.
Yeah, and I don't know anything about this character. I know he is from the world of Hellboy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sold.
EPRD.
Yeah, great name in a great world. I mean, the world kind of sucks, but in a great universe, I'm sold. So let's do this. This is, and there's so many different stories. I had no idea where to start, so I just picked one. Luckily, if you kind of are familiar with the universe, you don't really need to have a ton of context. You know, Supernatural. Yeah. You know, with somebody's, some Nazis are going to get punched at some point. That's it. That's Hellboy. So let's jump right in. Lobster, that name is perfect, man. It's the perfect name.
Mm-hmm.
For him to not be a lobster.
And to not have a penis.
And to not have his penis out ever. I imagine that he has one lobster claw out and his pants are unzipped the entire time. And that's his thing.
Oh, that's how he got his name.
Or a lobster got him on his penis one time.
Maybe there. It just won't let go.
That's why it keeps him so grizzled and tough. Lobster Johnson, the Iron Prometheus, issue number one. As America hovers on the brink of World War II, the Lobster and his allies must race against the clock as they find their way through cannibals, yetis, and machinations of a mysterious villain bent on fulfilling a deadly prophecy. I didn't think I'd be able to read that. I'm really impressed with myself. After years of captivating fans from the pages of Hellboy and BPRD, the pulp-style adventures of Lobster Johnson take the limelight in the Lobster's first solo series. Lobster Johnson is the perfect superhero radio show
mm-hmm.
back in the day. Like, if I read this, and I would just say it was fine, but when I think of it through the lens of like being in the old school days and sitting around that fucking giant ass radio, I bet this would be like a great story.
Yeah. I can see that.
What do you think about the Iron Prometheus? Let's get into it. Initial thoughts when I brought it to your table, and how are you feeling going into the first issue?
Well, I was excited because, like we prefaced, I love Mike Mignola, so I was excited to put, I don't know, there's something about reviewing books, because I don't read a lot. I've said this before. I don't read a lot of the comics outside of like homework for the show.
Yeah.
So I was excited anytime you, going on a homework theme, anytime you assign me something that I'm like, ooh, you know, like, ooh, I haven't read Mike Mignola before. I'm curious to see how that's going to go. So I was excited.
I like to throw you a bone every now and then. I'm like, we've been reading a lot of books that I want to read. Let's see what Simon might like.
Yeah, maybe he'll like this one.
The first one I recommended. I'm sorry.
Yeah. This one, though, I was excited to read it. Yeah. And going in, it already starts with a bang. So
in recent times, I don't know when the order of these episodes are coming out, but in recent time, we reviewed Adventure Man, and it was kind of scratching this pulp itch that I had. And this book starting out more of what I actually wanted than that book gave me. And so I was in. I was like, I read them back to back, and I was like, oh, this is what I was looking for the whole time. So,
yeah,
weird, occult, weird, science, perfect.
Yeah, I did think it was funny that they both have Nazis. Gotta have Nazis.
Yeah, we haven't reviewed any books with Nazis in a while, so we gotta take them down a peg.
Yeah.
We gotta do our part, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you feeling about this first issue, man?
Well, I was really curious where it was going to go, because we start following this mysterious character into a hotel room, and you know, Lobster Johnson's kind of doing the Batman thing. This guy is going into his apartment or whatever, mm-hmm. a apartment, thinking he can't be traced. And Lobster's like, oh, you were followed, you know, just showing up in the background. It's like, how the hell did you even know I was here? And I love the transformation sequence with this Yeti. The door opens. You see a silhouette of a man. And then the next panel, it's like a giant beast.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely terrifying to see.
And even though this isn't drawn by Mike Mignola, it's a very similar style.
Yeah, I felt like they tried to emulate that. I tried to keep it on the same vibe.
Yeah, and that makes sense with something like this. I've always just loved his use of shadow. Mm-hmm. And it kept very true here. I think that really works for everything, especially how menacing these creatures are supposed to be.
Yeah. One thing that I talked about how much I love the name Lobster Johnson and the world that these characters exist in, but the design of his suit is absolutely perfect, man.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are both fans of goggles, big goggles, silly circle goggle eyes. But I'm also a huge fan of that jacket that has all the extra buttons that goes all the way across. I don't know what the actual name of that jacket
like
is.
Like a double-breasted jacket.
Huge fan of that.
Same here. They're kind of a pilot's jacket.
I will say that he is a little too Batman for my taste at first.
Well, and it's kind of funny because I'm sure this predates the branding Batman and Batman versus Superman, but yeah, he brands everybody with like this lobster claw shape that he's got on his hand. It's really funny.
There's got to be more too. I want to know what the story behind that is. I got to look that up because and when they get touched with the lobster, whatever claw, they like deteriorate.
Well, this creature, I think it's because he was dead.
Hmm. Yeah. What do you think about this guy's robot suit? Everyone likes it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Yeah. Big and clunky. It's my favorite.
Kind of reminds me of the suits from Fallout.
Yeah. And I love the touch of the, like he's walking around with a trench coat on with it underneath, yeah. Which is funny.
Yeah.
It's very cool. And I like the way that it like encapsulates his head and everything.
Yeah.
It's really interesting just how it works.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's really interesting how it works. He's got like these, I don't know, electric powers almost. We find out more later, but there's a lot of Kirby crackle going on, which is, I really love.
Yeah, it is really cool. Lobster Johnson seems cool. This is my first real introduction of him. I say he's like Batman, but then he pulls out the gun and he says, "Here's the claw." Blow! And just like starts blasting. These shady detectives that end up being Nazis. Surprise. So he's not like Batman. He's better than Batman. He has a gun.
He takes care of business.
How are you feeling after this first issue? Lobster Johnson, first introduction.
Well, it was cool. And I really loved like his team behind the scenes. Like his scientists and like people that dig tunnels and people that are getting him around. It was really cool. All those other people. I'm very curious, you know, to the wider world of them and how they play into everything.
Yeah, it's cool that he's not just a guy that has it all figured out and he's doing it all on his own. He legitimately has a full team.
Yeah. And
that
I love
the reason why he's so successful.
I love the creepier aspects when the guy has the guy in the robot suit in the sewers and he's like, "Yeah, just you got to be careful. There's cannibals down here." It's like, "What? We're in fucking New Jersey."
Yeah, that whatever the guy's name is, Jim, I think, the guy in the suit.
Yeah,
he's talking to the member of Lobster's team, and he's like the member of Lobster's team, the ferryman at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Man, we got to get out of here." And Jim, it responds like, "Oh, because of the Nazis." And he's like, "No, I'm scared of Nazis. They're just dudes. Like, there's cannibals, man." My gosh, that's great. I'm just flipping through this. And it's not just Nazis, it's also like stereotypical Asian villain.
Well, yeah, I like that Lobster goes to like the place where the guy has gremlins.
Yeah,
and he's talking to this guy and he's got this daughter that's like an oracle, and it's so funny because the guy's like irritated. That's the way I read it. It's like the father who's identifying the medallion that Lobster mm-hmm. finds has a daughter that's sick. She's like an oracle, and he's like, "Don't say the name," whatever.
Yeah, he freaks out
and she says it, but he's like, "Ah," you know, not like screaming in pain. He's more like, "Just shut up."
Yeah,
That I don't know. I found that humorous. I'm still digging this style, man. But yeah, I don't know. I really like that. That oh, but you were talking about like the stereotypical typical Asian villain. And there are certain parts in here in the first League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, like they go to a factory like this and they find like all these Asian workers. And there's one guy they call the devil. I was like, man, it's like the same connection.
And I know that that's how they did it back in the day. And it's kind of like a homage history, but and they do it way lighter. It's not like the Yellow Claw or anything like really, really bad like they did back in the actual time. So it's done fairly well. I'm into it. We kind of just get dropped into this world, which is perfect for something like this.
Right. Yeah. The story is simple enough that you don't need to have read, you know, however many issues of Hellboy and Lobster involvement we had there.
I am interested in... You know, I do want to know more about them. They have these little snippets in between or after each issue that kind of talk about this lore of Lobster Johnson, but at the base of him, there's like nobody knows who he is. Mm-hmm. He's like a pulp character that someone created, but this guy, we don't know who the hell he is. Oh, take it away, issue number two.
Lobster Johnson, the Iron Prometheus, number two. The Lobster and Jim delve deeper into the sinister forces behind Professor Galarraga's mysterious disappearance and discover a conspiracy wilder than they could possibly have imagined. With Nazis, Tibetan cultists, and a prophecy whose fulfillment could mean the end of the world.
Mike Mignola did do the covers for each one of these issues. And
oh, yeah.
They're perfect.
Yeah, I've always loved his style for making movie poster-esque stacking, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Character and Portman. Importance and stuff like that.
So good. Absolutely perfect. You're not going to hear me say anything bad about Mike Mignola.
Yeah, watch it.
I think his art style is perfect. And right, I will now scream at people. I'll scream at people if they say he's terrible.
How dare they have an opinion of their own. I did like, on another note, I thought it was interesting. The 2019 Hellboy movie was pretty much trash, but it does have Lobster Johnson in it, which was great.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I never saw it because I heard so many bad things about it straight out the gate.
It's not great, but that part was funny.
He's just like a cameo?
Yeah. It's Thomas Hayden Church. Got to play Sandman.
Oh, man. I love that.
I didn't know that. Thomas Hayden Church.
I might go watch that after this.
Yeah.
Instantly fall asleep.
Yeah, I think he might be at the beginning, so it wouldn't be. You just watch that fall asleep. Anyway. So, I like how they come to this factory and they just have this medallion like, well, let us in. Anybody could have that medallion, man.
I also like how they're dressed like in the Ninja Turtles disguise.
Yeah. What was that? Looked like a big title and a trench coat.
Well, Lobster Johnson looks cool. That could just be his suit. I mean, I guess the robot too.
Yeah. I'm into it, whatever the case. They have all these assassins, and it seems like, so we find out a little bit about how the suit works. I'm not going to try to repeat it, but it's some kind of spiritual, like.
Yeah, I was going to say, angel. Hopefully Simon can explain it better than I can.
Well, it's like some kind of like heavenly angel energy.
Yeah. And it's powered by your willpower. If you have a connection to it, because they're going to fight all these assassins off, but then he just uses his full power and incinerates them.
Yeah, and almost kills Lobster.
Yeah, and through willpower, he's just like, I got to keep going, and he's until they're all dust. But he gets captured in like the most Looney Tunes way. He just so happens to step on the right trap to get hammered into the exact hole that he needed to be in.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, there's some interesting characters that we know nothing about, but I don't know, you know, they may not be in any other part of this property either. They could literally just be right here. That's kind of how Mike Mignola writes. Like,
just like established characters that they're just part of that world. You don't really need to know their whole, you kind of get everything you need to know right now.
Yeah, mostly. I mean, he does that with Rasputin in Seed of Destruction. I don't feel like he's in there, but I don't know
Yeah.
if it's like the same way it is in the movies.
There's a guy that Lawser Johnson tried to kill, a bad guy. Now he's teamed up with the Nazis.
Yeah. And he has a
That's it.
brand on his head already.
Yeah, and this other guy, his henchman, is like freaking. I love the way that. And again, this isn't Mike Mignola, but the design choices are very similar, and so I love the design of like mechanical objects, robots, and like the mechanical arms and stuff. I think it was done perfectly.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because he's lobster and this guy's kind of like a crab. It's got like the
Yeah.
big and little claws.
Our main character, Jim, at this point in the story starts to go on a different journey. And this completely came out of left field for me, his whole story arc. But I thought it was done well.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. He gets captured by being gassed or whatever by a puppet of the same guy. I
Yeah.
don't know. I don't know why this guy has a stuffed version of himself, but
Why not, man?
whatever.
To gas people.
Just to gas people.
That's it.
The
And
snake
apparently,
thing. Yeah, go
go
ahead.
ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like they're right in this area, is where I started to get a little confused about what was actually happening. Page 50. It's like, what's the deal with
Yeah,
the snakes?
this one superpower that he uses one time
Yeah, to make giant snakes.
and never again.
Yeah, snakes, man. Why'd it have to be snakes?
Always snakes on this damn plane. It makes like giant snakes, yeah. And the bad, the new Dr. Waxman gets instantly murdered. So it doesn't matter if he had a bigger story or not, because he gets killed pretty quickly. I do like this exchange between them. Lobster Johnson just seems kind of no nonsense, which is perfect for his kind of character.
Yeah. He also seems to get himself in a lot of predicaments, at least in
Yeah.
this trade.
Well, he has this, I guess it's a grenade. Flashbang. It's a grenade.
It's a grenade.
He's wrapped up by the snakes, and the demon says, "I have no quarrel with you. Just don't mess with me. I won't mess with you. We'll be fine." And without even thinking, he's just like, "Nah, I'm good."
Yeah.
Well, that's my thing. I kill bad guys.
Yo, nosies.
So good. I think that's the end of issue number
Yeah,
two.
these are pretty short issues. Packed pretty
I like it.
full.
I like it a lot.
But what I
Lobster.
like, sorry, I was just gonna say, what I like about Lobster Johnson is he's like relentless. Like he gets the shit kicked out of him and then he's back.
Yeah. I wonder if he has more superpowers than Lobster Palm.
Lobster Palm.
Lobster Johnson, the Iron Prometheus, issue number three, Beware My Claw, for I have come to inflict justice. Undeterred by his defeat in the jaws of the snake monster, the lobster springs back into action, but can he find his ally in time? Jim, still in his stolen battle armor, has fallen into the clutches of the mysterious villain, who will stop at nothing to harness the cosmic viral energy
Well,
in Jim's.
yes. Something like that.
And the powers his armor. So originally they think it's the Nazis, and then they find out that it's these Asian dudes. But the Asian dudes are like, "We don't even want that armor. It's stupid. We want the power behind the armor." And that's kind of what we're at in issue number three.
Yeah, and so in issue number three, Jim wakes up in this like factory, but in issue number two, he was like in a snowy mountaintop. He got transferred dimensions or something. So,
Yeah, it was weird. Well, because he died. Spoiler alert.
well, not yet.
Oh, that's right, because he gets get the gas is what killed him.
Yeah. So,
That's right.
I really didn't know if this was like a dream now, like he's got gas and now it's a dream with his brain or what. That's
Yeah,
very bad.
because the brain is the old doctor.
Yeah, that's what they did to Baxter Stockman in the 2003 Ninja Turtles show.
Baxter. R.I.P. Baxter Stockman. Then we see this naked Frankenstein monster who ends up taking the power.
Yeah.
That's
it explains
weird.
Explains a little bit about the Vril and something else, but I don't know.
There's it's a mystical lot of, mysticism.
Yeah, weird words in there.
Mysticism jargon. Essentially, the main thing that we get from this, though, is that the experiments that the doctor and his daughter were running on Jim weren't just about the suit. They were integrating that power into Jim. And this is sort of like Dr. Manhattan-y realm.
Yeah, kind of.
He has that old evil Nazi gun and shoots that brain, though. That was sad.
Yeah, fucked up. Yeah. But I mean, even realistically, what are you going to do?
Yeah. What kind of life could you expect to live? But then you see like the blub, 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 like a water leaving the thing. Every panel that we get of Walter Johnson, he's just mowing people down in this issue.
I love that with this gas mask on and everything. That's great.
Yeah, he looks cool.
There is mention that the bad guy is the devil. He's called the devil more than once.
You are the devil. Yeah. And this is where we find out that Jim died. The gas was poison. He should have been dead.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he's not.
Yeah, and he's fighting. He's fighting the basically the slave that the devil gave the real power to, with this like heavenly tuning fork or whatever.
Yeah, that's weird. Where this got to be on her back too.
Yeah, whilst Lobster is trying to save the scientist's daughter and like throw some kind of face melting scorpion on him. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was confusing, but it was cool.
It was cool because the arm like gets an allergic reaction, becomes Hulkified, and then he dies.
There's a bunch of melting. People just melt.
Lobster Johnson, he has that effect on people.
Mm-hmm.
We learn, like you said earlier, this is where we learn that the tuning fork and the power of Vril is tied to sort of this heavenly or divine power, right? And it amplifies what you are. So the doctor tells Jim that because he's good, it amplifies that. And since this slave warrior is bad, it amplifies the evil and turns him into a dragon soldier.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, looks great. Kirby Crackle behind it. I mean, the shadowing is perfect. It's a great design.
Well, and they also, again, I mean, right here, we saw our guy die before. And then he gets basically the dragon slave warrior, whatever. I don't know if he breathes fire on his face or something, but
smokes his ass.
Yeah. We just see him holding Jim with like a smoldering head.
Yeah, it looks so cool. And then we learned that the devil, not my opinion, for I just don't remember what his name is. He wants to create an army of 369. It's the party number.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon soldiers.
42369.
Yeah. 420. That's where we're at with issue number 3. Take it away, dog.
Lobster Johnson, the Iron Prometheus number 4. With his allies dead, the lobster must fight his way through a mutated menagerie of mystical and scientific abominations to stop the sinister machinations of his mysterious adversary.
Adversary.
This is really crazy. Poor girl has to see her dad with the top of his head cut off.
Yeah.
I love that lobster just throws her out the window.
He almost... It's just like a background character in this book.
Yeah.
Like he does all the cool Dick Tracy action stuff.
Zero personality.
But no personality. Which is, I kind of like. I kind of like that he's an archetype of a character. And then the story is kind of like what is going on behind or in front of him.
Yeah.
If Jim wasn't dead before, he is dead for sure now. Because he gets body slammed by this giant red dragon.
Yeah, and I saw his head smoldering in the last issue and I didn't really think anything of it.
Yeah.
Because we see him get fucked up, but now he gets thrown through this floor and he's a skull. He's a skeleton.
He looks cool though.
Yeah.
It looks cool. And I knew he was alive because he's having this existential conversation. It's still there. And he came to life before. But then he starts having this existential conversation with the professor. And he learns that he doesn't even have to live in this reality. He's so powerful now. He can go and traverse the multiverse.
Yeah.
He ain't going to go yet. He's got one more thing to do on my way out, buddy. He looks great. I love the skeleton Ghost Rider machine man.
Yeah, he reminds me of one of the monsters from Scooby-Doo.
Which I yeah. Really yeah. And again, Officer Johnson's just out there just running through this mansion shooting people. And that's all he's really doing.
Yeah.
All he needs to, I guess.
This other dude's just melting, folks.
Yeah, that's all he's doing is going around zapping people.
This right here gets really strange because Lobster starts chasing down this quote-unquote devil with the chicken feet hands. And he fires a couple of rounds in his back and starts following the blood trail and ends up again in this like, oh no, that's not what happened, Dip. I don't know. There's like another monkey here. We've had a Yeti and now we have a, what do you call the things? Rafiki.
Oh, baboon. Yeah. A mandrel.
Yeah. And I've noticed that Mike Mignola has a bunch of apes. Always apes. Big apey demons.
Yeah.
He must like them.
Yeah. Yeah, it was random. Because he's just like, oh, this is my mandrel closet. Took a wrong turn. You took a wrong turn at the villain exit.
Yeah.
And he ends up in the monkey closet. But then we also get one of the Yetis come back to life. Or I don't even know who that is because... It's somebody. I thought it was the Yeti that he burned earlier.
It must be. Because he's got the fucking thing in its head.
Yeah. He just shows up randomly?
Yeah, shows up again. So all his teammates have to fight him. I guess just so he's preoccupied. He drowns this mandrel, but then gets conked in the back of the head.
By these evil Nazis.
Yeah. Well, and they're like the U.S. government, I think. Spies. Yeah.
They're supposed to be the good guys.
They have this very well hidden swastika burned into their palm.
Yeah, what a great place for it.
Yeah, if you're going to hide something, put it on your hand.
Yeah, on the inside of your hand, too. I like that, it doesn't even happen in this, but I like how they're familiar with Lobster Johnson just because of his, you know, antics in the U.S. And when... they were supposed to be getting the armor for the Nazis because the Nazis don't know about the prophecy. They just like weird occult science stuff. That's who they are. They like trying to turn people into werewolves and shit like that. And they just want the suit of armor because they think that's like the future, right? And all they end up getting is the helmet. And again, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is in issue 5. But they're like, you can only find the helmet. And he's like, well, we got you Lobster Johnson, too. And they're like, we don't know who that is.
Yeah, who is that? Yeah, I thought that was great.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. And it's like, it's funny because in so many books, you think that everybody knows the quote unquote main character. They're like, no, man, who the fuck is that?
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
We don't care.
Very, very cool. Very funny. Right,
let's do this. Is this number 5? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there anything in issue number 4 that I missed?
I don't think so.
I think we got it. Lobster Johnson, The Iron Prometheus, issue number 5. The Lobster returns from the gripping conclusion. Wait. The Lobster returns for the gripping conclusion to The Iron Prometheus, where he battles a fearsome criminal mastermind and Nazis on the Jersey Shore in an attempt to waylay. Oh, my God. Where he battles a fearsome criminal mastermind and Nazis on the Jersey Shore in an attempt to waylay a mysterious prophecy.
Jim Tan Laundry. I've been watching that.
Jersey Shore?
Yeah, man. It's great to put on in the background when you're like taking photos because you don't give a shit.
I used to love that show back in the day.
I remember we used to sit and watch it.
Yeah.
So dumb.
So good.
I didn't really think this would have any more to offer. Like I thought kind of the last issue wasn't quite finished, but this, it could have been a good, like mysterious end, right? He gets conked in the back of the head with a Nazi, and that's it.
Yeah.
But again, like, he keeps going. He gets conked in the head. The Nazis kind of leave. He raises up and caps both these Nazis.
That's what I was thinking. Like, he's just a punching bag, man.
Yeah. He's a little bit of Batman, a little bit of Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's just a straight-up punching Wolverine without the healing factor. Just going in to get his ass kicked. People talk about how great Wolverine is, and it's like, he's not that great. He just heals. If you heal from everything...
Yeah, you would take a lot of risks.
Yeah, and if you had metal bones and freaking razor-sharp claws, I'm pretty sure most people would be pretty badass. Right. Except for me, I'd still be pretty lazy.
I'd use it to, like, open cans of Coke and stuff.
I'd be like the X-Men animated series where he's cutting up the salami. That'd be me. Perfect use of it.
Oh, God. Make your own Lunchables.
As I mentioned, that's my favorite part of this issue, is where they're like, we got you the lobster. And they say, I don't know who that is. That, yeah. To me, it, for some reason, that just put a big smile on my face. And I loved it. And they're so surprised. They're like, you're spies, you're double agents, all the people you never hear from. It's because of him. And they're like, oh, man, he sounds dangerous. You should shoot him.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's
great. Why is he still here if he's such a threat to everything? Just shoot him in the mouth. Shoot him in the mouth hole.
There's this, that's so funny. There's this whole sequence where he gets transported to the same like mountainside that Jim was transferred to, and the devil, the main bad guy that everybody keeps calling the devil, like, is gonna brand him as,
yeah, his with the amulet, right?
Yeah,
but then he doesn't. Some kind of dreamscape that,
yeah. Well, kind of, because he does have it. He has that, yeah, on his chest. I like the interaction with the Nazis when he's like, listen, we're about to go to war with America anyway, so I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to blow up New York City. But it's kind of funny because he's like, I'll start this, but the legacy I don't want is going back to Hitler with a useless helmet. So, yeah. We're just not going to talk about this.
Yeah. Lobster Johnson jumps in the freaking ocean to chase down a Nazi submarine. Yeah, that's pretty badass.
It's got to be a great swimmer with a name like that.
That's true. It's all in the name. That's where the lobster comes in. I don't like Nazis, but I do love this robot metal brace that he has. He's just like a scuba Nazi. And then he puts on this mechanical knuckle duster, punches the shit out of Lobster Johnson.
Yeah, punching people underwater isn't easy either.
Yeah, right. You're just like,
yeah, Lobster Johnson basically has the equivalent of the scene in Indiana Jones against the big Nazi in the desert.
Yeah,
where he's fighting this guy.
Yep, shoot him.
But see, he has this amulet, and he finds out there's like a timer on the back. There's an egg timer on the back of an amulet. I don't know how they fit
them. I thought that was weird.
But yeah, I don't know how they fit all the explosives into it, but it's basically a bomb.
Yeah. This book still ends on a pretty good cliffhanger. It's kind of setting up the world of a major antagonist for Lobster Johnson. I don't know if it carries over. I know Mike Mignola is good with setting up these like individual storylines in the universe. Like with Hellboy, he has certain sagas that aren't necessarily like one overarching universe for Hellboy. They're just stories set in the universe of Hellboy.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see if this is going, I'm sure they would continue with this. This character has to show back up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But really, it just kind of ends. His people have to deal with this other fucking Yeti, and they're sitting around waiting for him, and they lose the girl. Like, oh, we dropped her off somewhere, so her story's just over.
Yeah, did we fuck up? Sorry. And they're like, yeah, nope. You did exactly what I thought you should.
So, I don't know. That's it.
That's it. That's all. Lobster Johnson, the Iron Prometheus. Simon, what did you like? What didn't you like? How'd you feel after reading it?
Overall, I thought it was great. I love the artwork. The story is simple enough to where it's like, you know, you can dive in without feeling over encumbered. There are some points that I It was very convenient. Like, oh, what happened to the girl? Oh, we just dropped her at home. Where it's fine.
Yeah, it was a refreshing book. We've been reading a lot of superhero books lately, and then these sort of heady books. This was something that it didn't need a lot of context. Get dropped into the world, and you kind of know the world, you're familiar with it, then you're going to be all right. And yeah, for me, that's I was all right. I don't think it was this crazy, you know, best book I've ever read, but it really did scratch that Lovecraftian slash pulpy itch that I've been having. What do you think about the character designs, man?
I love them. And to me, they were knocked out of the park.
Same, same. And you already mentioned the artwork. I loved it. Something about that, the way that the designs work with the heavy shadows. I think it's just when you do it so well, man, it is freaking perfect.
Yeah. It all hangs loose, as you like to say. No, yeah. No bra, no panties, hanging loose.
No, let it all hang out. Commando style art. That's how I like it. The only real complaint I have about this entire book is the snake hands thing, man.
Yeah, it was weird. It's just kind of random.
I don't get it.
There's a couple of really random parts, but overall, I look past them.
Yeah, me too. It was a refreshing, refreshing story. Let's grade this bad boy.
Grade it.
Can you go first?
Yeah, man, I always go first. I'm going to give it a C4. I really, really liked it. I do kind of wish it made a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, it's really good.
I'm going to go with E3. No real complaints. Probably don't need to eat the side that is like not completely toasted. I probably don't need that last issue, honestly. Like you said, the cliffhanger of him getting knocked out of the sewer would have been a cool cliffhanger.
Yeah, I think that would have been great.
Would have made me pick up a second volume for sure. And yeah, I liked it. I am interested in him as a character. I want to know more about him and his powers, where they came from, and all that jazz. So I'll say that's a successful book. Makes you want to read more.
Yeah, for sure.
But as usual, we're circling the drain. Sam, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Sime_on_toast. That's where I'll be most of the time. If you click in my link in my bio, you'll find a link to, and this is if you're in the market for action figures, but you'll find a link to my Entertainment Earth affiliate link. Gives you 10% off anything in stock, not pre-orders, and free shipping over $59. Pretty sweet deal.
That's a steal of a deal, man. You should definitely check that out.
The more you spend, the more you save, as they like to say.
Oh, I like it. I like it a lot. You can find us at Wednesday Pool, everywhere else. If you're listening to this right now, at the end, just take a second. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to the show. We would greatly appreciate that. And let us know what you think about Lobster Johnson and the Iron Prometheus. Don't look it up in your browser because something else might pop up. But check it out. Let us know what you think. And if you have any book recommendations, anything you want us to read, also hit us up. We will definitely take a look at that and try to get to it.
Yeah, get some good Frank Miller. Something to
really hammer home the fanatics. That's it, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.